This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
It's Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. Let's talk about blockchain. Despite it being nearly 10 years old now, it's made popular through Bitcoin. Blockchain has somewhat a tangled history. However, if you dig slightly deeper into the technology itself, you would find use cases for many sectors, including smart cities, supply chain, and also driving business values. And one such company that is specializing in blockchain technology for both fintech and non-fintech sectors is Chaintop Malaysia. And Jun, who is the Chief Operating Officer, is with me. Jun, introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jun. I'm the CEO of Chaintop Malaysia, which is a blockchain company. This blockchain company, as a blockchain company, we are a solution provider. We provide blockchain solutions to many different industries, not only about like finance, not only about like cryptocurrencies, but we provide the blockchain solutions to the companies.
All right. And perhaps, you know, I think we can spend a little bit of time about explaining about who you guys really are. A lot of you, when you say, you know, we're a blockchain service provider for fintech and non-fintech, I guess a lot of people would just not know what exactly that means itself, right? So perhaps you can explain, like, what kind of, you know, what exactly does it mean as a blockchain service provider?
Okay, so if we talk about blockchain, a lot of people misunderstand, get confused with blockchain and cryptocurrencies. And also because there was a lot of incidents in the past that cryptocurrency exchanges was hacked and there was a lot of losses happened. There was a big news. Mm. So a lot of people confused about this. But blockchain technology itself is just a name of a technology. It's the same level as database or those things. So it's just a technology. So it's a technology that we can use it for a lot of industries, not only about finance, but we can use it for energy sector, supply chain, insurance, a lot of different use cases. So as a blockchain solution provider, our company mission is to build the blockchain into societies. So not only about ICOs, cryptocurrencies, but we try to integrate the blockchain into societies to make people's life better.
Mm. And how did the company started in its based here in Malaysia as well, since 2017?
17, yes.
How did this all come about?
Okay. Our CEO, Mr. Shoda, he has a lot of friends in Japan. I mean, there was a lot of students from Malaysia under Look East policy. A lot of students studied in Japan. And so Mr. Shoda, the CEO, was taking care of those students. And after they graduated the universities in Japan, they went back to Malaysia and, you know, worked for government sectors. So when our CEO, Shoda-san, wanted to expand the business to overseas, Southeast Asia, those, the students who studied in Japan before are the one that supported us, opened the door for us, meet with the government sector. And so that's how we meet with MDEC. And during that time, MDEC was trying to open a fintech space called Orbit in Bangsa South. So luckily, you know, we were at the right timing. So we signed an MOU, a partnership, and we became one of the partner. And then we entered this fintech space, Orbit, and we are based in there now.
And how much has the things or the industry or your sector at least changed since 2017? Because there seems to be a lot of progress in blockchain. It's a lot more, you know, talk of the town. We're right. Seeing it more mainstream, at least. How much personally have you seen changed over the last 2 years?
When I first came here, 2017, except like a very knowledgeable person, I mean, doing active research in blockchain, they know about blockchain. But during that time, it was very difficult for me to meet with a potential customers and say, hey, do you want to use blockchain? But they don't know about blockchain. Mm. They, you know, link it with ICOs or those cryptocurrencies, fishy stuff. So it was quite difficult for me to like explain one by one from a very beginner level. But right now, I think a lot of things changed. Also, the regulations are getting ready now. So when I meet with the clients, they already have a certain knowledge about blockchain. So it's easy, very easy for me. And when I start talking about it, they already, you know, already in their mind, they're like thinking about how they should, you know, use blockchain, not talking about what is blockchain. Mm-hmm. So that's a big difference I can see.
And talent-wise, was you know, how difficult was that, finding the right talent because you're based here in Malaysia?
Yes. So yeah, at the beginning in 2017, it was very difficult for us to look for blockchain engineers. In Japan, there are, you know, some blockchain engineers, but in Malaysia during that time, 2017, it was difficult for us to find a good blockchain engineer. So what we actually done is we looked for a good engineers. Talented engineers, and then we trained them and, you know, educated them to become a blockchain engineers.
And, you know, as we mentioned at the start of the show, it's about 10 years old now, blockchain itself, when, you know, was first brought to the market. Mm-hmm. How much do you think it has really impacted the technology space as well?
So, you know, at the blockchain, when it first came to the, you know, world, of course, you know, people were talking about cryptocurrencies, and then ICO came in. There's a lot of frauds and incidents, hacking incidents of the cryptocurrency exchanges happened. So there was a lot of negative perspective on blockchain technology right now. But a lot of companies, they understand the importance of blockchain, same level as like AI or big data. So they are quite active to do a lot of research and proof of concept projects, which is basically like a testing. And after they do a testing, this year, I would say that a lot of companies, they are going beyond the testing. They are more targeting the commercialization, how they can provide the actual services using blockchain behind. So I would say that a lot of companies are in that level already this year.
And even in Malaysia, you think we are sort of there? We're keeping up with the global trends?
Okay. In Malaysia, I would say... Some companies, they are looking into commercialization, and there are some cases in Malaysia as well that some of the universities, they are trying to use blockchain for tracking the graduation certificates and also proof of concept projects a lot. So I would say Malaysia is it's pretty, like, how to say, following the global trend. But maybe, like, of course, compared to a lot of, you know, advanced, I mean, for example, US, they already have a lot of cases that is already like implemented into societies. Like, for example, Walmart, they, you know, implemented blockchain into the supply chain field. So yeah, maybe a little bit behind, but still, I think because of the regulation as well, I think Malaysia is quite doing well now.
So what do you do here with Chaintalk Malaysia? What kind of services are you providing that people can actually tap into blockchain?
Yes. Okay. As a company, we provide three services. As a blockchain company, we do a blockchain layer as well, protocol development. This is one thing. But in terms of the application layer, what services that we can provide, we have three focus areas. One is energy sector, another is supply chain, and the last one is community currencies, like a company currencies as well. So in the energy sector, we have been working with TNB, Tenaga Nasional, and it's because we are providing blockchain solutions for energy industries.
Why does it need blockchain?
Okay, so blockchain is, you know, it's a distributed ledger. It's, you know, for energy sector, right now it's still like one company holding the market power. Like, it's kind of a monopolized right now. But if you consider long term, if it's deregulated, if there's a lot of players in the market, blockchain is a perfect solution for this kind of cases, which a lot of players are on the same platform sharing the data in a distributed network. It reduces a lot of costs, and it has more efficiency for this kind of industries.
And I also read online or on your site, you mentioned that you're also developing Taparus and Inazma. Right. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but what exactly are these? Because these are, you know, again, new terms that I myself is stumbling across.
Right. So, as a blockchain company, we believe in public blockchain. But we believe in public blockchain in a sense that we believe that public blockchain has the true innovation. It's fully decentralized. And but if we try to use blockchain technology in the business sector, it has a lot of limitations. For example, the transaction volume that blockchain can handle, it has a problem that Bitcoin, for example, it can only handle like 7 transactions per second, which is obviously not enough for the business sectors. And transaction volume, transaction fee, transaction speed, those are the problems of the public blockchain. So our approach is that we believe in public blockchain. So we try to maintain the benefit of using public blockchain as much as possible and try to use it in the business sectors. Mm. So Taparus and Inazma, those are the solutions, blockchain solutions, which is trying to solve the existing problem in the public blockchains. Maybe a little bit explain further about this, but Tapirus is a technology blockchain solutions which solves the governance issue of public blockchain. So what's governance problem? So in the public blockchain, you know, computer nodes exist all over the world, which means that no one can control, you know, I mean, there's a, you know, a good and bad. So it's distributed all over the world, so no one can control. But if we use it in business sector, some of the companies, of course, you know, they want to have a certain control of it. So Tapirus is designed for business group of companies, not one company, but group of companies. For example, the companies in the energy sector, 20 companies, a group of companies in supply chain, 30 companies, they can you know, share the platform together, so that, you know, each company they can reduce the cost dramatically because they are sharing the infrastructure. So the Tapirus is a blockchain solution for this kind of cases. And another one, Inazuma, this is the solution to solve the blockchain, public blockchain problems of transaction volume and transaction fee, those problems. So it's called, considered as layer two technology. So what is layer two? Layer one is the blockchain itself, Bitcoin or something, those blockchain itself. Layer two is the idea behind is that not storing all the information into the layer one blockchain, but it, you know, records some of the information off-chain. Off-chain, but it doesn't mean it's not secure. It's secure by a cryptography. So everything is about cryptography, actually. So these Tapirus Inazuma are, you know, those kind of our solutions to complement the public blockchain and use it in the business sector.
I'm speaking to Junior Yoshizaki, the Chief Operating Officer at Chaintalk Malaysia, talking about blockchain for business. And we'll continue in just a moment, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
Blockbusters for me. BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
And we're back with me, Jeff Sandu, together with Junior Yoshizaki. He's the Chief Operating Officer at Chaintalk Malaysia. And we're talking about blockchain for your business. Jun, so far, for those that have now got a better understanding of blockchain after listening to this, might be wondering what exactly can they do to enable, or what areas can they enable blockchain in their sector, in their business? What can be done with blockchain and what shouldn't be done in blockchain?
So, you know, when we talk with a companies, potential clients, there are actually a lot of cases that blockchain is not necessary. So in that case, we will just be obvious. You know, we'll tell them that in this case, blockchain is not necessary. So we also, you know, don't want to make companies to spend so much money on something that is not useful, right? So we always like design it and we consult the companies and let them know, in this case, blockchain is suitable, but in this case, it's not suitable. So we make it very clear. And it also depends on the industry. So as I said just now, like energy sector, supply chain, those industries which a lot of companies exist in the market. And then they, if the industry, like, it makes sense to like share the information, share the data among these group of companies. If this kind of scenario, blockchain is like a perfect case for it.
And in talking with like those sectors, the energy sector, the supply chain sector, let's stick to the supply chain. What's the benefit in me being able to share the information or the data that I have in a secure way? What's the benefit here in going blockchain?
Okay, so for example, in the supply chain case, supply chain field industry, the problem of the current market is that each company, there's tons of companies in the supply chain, and each company, they hold the information by themselves and they don't really share it with others. So about, you know, the what's the ingredients, what time they do the shipment, this information, they typically keep it by themselves and they don't share it with others, because if the power balance of the companies is different. If one strong company, you know, forces other companies to like open the data or, you know, use their system, then it's possible. But if the company power balance is more or less the same, they don't want to share the information to others because they also want to keep it by themselves. So that's why there's no traceability, proper traceability in the supply chain field. So blockchain actually provides a layer that companies can share the information to each other, but not all the information, just the necessary information to achieve the traceability. So it provides this layer. So companies can just, you know, be on board of this platform, and then they can share the information, necessary information on the blockchain, so that it achieves the end-to-end traceability to make it visualize the whole supply chain.
So besides it being able to be more visible, I guess, yes. I also read that it's reducing counterfeit products. Right. How does that work?
Okay, so by visualizing the whole supply chain, the end user, the consumers, when they purchase the products from the retailers, they can know whether it's a genuine product or not. Because in our solution, we give unique QR code, barcode to each product, each single product, we place it. And then we track from the manufacturer until the retailer. And so consumers, if the counterfeit products, the barcode behind the products, if the consumers scan the barcode, if it's a counterfeit products, they won't see any information because it's a counterfeit products. But if it has a proper traceability, if they scan it, then they will see the whole traceability information. It came from this retailer, it came from this distributor, it came from this manufacturer. They can see the whole information here. So by seeing this, it makes more, it's more like become a reliable products.
And you can't fake the information in that code. Like someone can pretend to be, print out like a fake QR code and stuff like that.
If you print out a fake QR code, of course it is possible. You copy and paste it. But then if the consumer scan the barcode, the information says that, you purchased this product from retail A. But then that's the information that the barcode tells. Mm. But actually you purchased from other stores, retailer B. So you can know that something wrong happened here. Mm-hmm. So having a visualization, it makes more, gives more reliability. Mm.
And also, I guess, confidence to the brand and to the consumer as
exactly.
well. And with that also, because there's a lot of benefits in here, how costly is it for, a supply chain manufacturer to adopt blockchain?
So blockchain, typically it is said that it reduces a lot of cost if they implement into their businesses. So maybe at the beginning, a lot of testing is required. A lot of proof of concept projects are required. But at the end, if we consider the long run, we consider that blockchain is something, a technology that reduces the cost dramatically. Of course, it depends on the regulations and those things. So you have to implement it in a proper way. So that's why we have to closely work with the regulators as well. If once you successfully implement it, we think that blockchain is very beneficial. Reduces a lot of costs for the companies.
And what's the, talking about regulators, what's your take with just the Malaysia stance of, the things like blockchain services? Are we actually having positive discussions around it? Are you're working with TNB, so that right. that must be, quite a big confidence boost to blockchain technology itself.
Right. So, for example, in the energy sector, as I mentioned, we have been working with TNB. In the supply chain field, we have been working with retailer Aeon. Images from Japan as well. And so those big companies are, willing to adopt blockchain. That kind of justifies the big direction. All the big companies are moving towards that direction. They're thinking how to use blockchain into their businesses. That's one thing. And another important perspective is, as I mentioned, it's a regulation. So, for example, energy sector, we met with SEDA before, and so working with regulators is also very important. What kind of regulation they have is also important. So security commissions, they had the new regulations for the cryptocurrency exchanges. So all these factors are very important. But in the early discussion, we talk about the Malaysia regulators. They are quite positive and active in implementing a proper regulation in Malaysia. So I would say that the companies, they also they are willing to adopt blockchain. Regulators, they are also positive in regulating a blockchain in a proper way. So I think it's this both axis. It's kind of a positive situation in Malaysia.
And, you know, we're only, what, a few months away from the new year itself. And, you know, the year 2020 brings a new decade. And, you know, we would expect to see technologies like blockchain to flourish. What do you think is required, just overall Malaysia, whether it's the SMEs, the smaller medium enterprises, or the larger corporates, the you know, the TNBs and the Aeons? What do you think, you know, Malaysia needs to really champion this?
You know, since I've been here, like since 2017, the good thing about the companies that I met before is that they are like really aggressive. So they are willing to do POCs. They are very aggressive and they talk about commercialization, not only about testing. So they were already thinking to how to implement it. So I would say that that's a very positive actions. And I would say that the blockchain companies, maybe the SMEs, the companies that, you know, cannot afford to, you know, invest in those latest technology, maybe they have to like follow a bit, you know, for the, you know, those market leaders. But if these market leaders like TNB or Aeon, if they are the one that driving the whole industry, showing the direction, that's like one of the very, you know, positive way of, you know, involving other SMEs in on board. So that's why we are, you know, we try to work with the big players, influential companies. And if these big influential companies, if they like agree with our like technology or our approach, then that's like a perfect, it's a perfect scenario for us.
So you're positive about the outlook and the direction of blockchain heading and Chaintop itself, that's going to be still the direction moving forwards?
Yes. I mean, our headquarters is in Japan. So in Japan, they have their own projects. They have, they're also working with big companies in Japan. So, you know, as a blockchain company, we cannot do much by ourselves. We have to work with influential big companies. But the challenges is that, you know, we cannot just, you know, meet them and sell something. So we have to explain our approach, how we want to use blockchain, not only talking about private blockchain or cryptocurrencies, ICOs, but we are very serious about how to implement into societies to change people's life. So that's the, you know, we want to convince the big companies. And if this, the philosophy kind of matches, then there's like a chemistry, you know, and the big companies agree to work with us. So we will, that's like what we will continue in Malaysia and also in Japan and Southeast Asia's market.
Jun, I'm equally as excited as you are to see how maybe, you know, blockchain could be the mainstream in the business sector. That was Junior Yoshizaki, the Chief Operating Officer at Chaintop Malaysia, talking about how blockchain could help your business, and hopefully this gives you a better understanding of how it works. If you miss any parts of this show, you can download the podcast now at bfm.my, or better yet, get the BFM app. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and this has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9. And now it's time for your TM1 Tech Minute. The blockchain. Most blockchain tools are used to create stability and security in enterprise environments. The transparency and simplicity of the blockchain concept allows stakeholders to have instant access to the ledger that underpins the chain. In supply chains, that transparency can instantly identify and prevent fraud and increase efficiency and also reduce cost. But a blockchain is only as robust as the data that enters it. The data requires robust, fast, and secure data transfer networks to ensure that nothing goes untracked or unmonitored. TM1's hyper-connected ecosystem and 5G network provides an integrated framework of cloud, data, and security services. The perfect environment for your blockchain and your business to thrive. Made possible by TM1. And that was your TM1 Tech Minute.
Tech Talk, made possible by TM1. To learn more, visit tm1.com.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.